This is WGRE 91.5 FM, Greencastle, Indiana.
Good evening and welcome to Music for Life, Music from DePauw. This week, we formally introduce new choral director Dr. Christina Berger, who's filling in for Greg Risto this year. Student producer Hannah Gauthier talks to Jacob Peterman and Zeno Carpenter-New about our upcoming DePauw-Palooza Festival. Matt Skiba hears from students Maureen Bailey and Jennifer Peacock about the exciting ways they spent their summer. And I talk to our new graduate intern for 21CM and Dr. Eric Edberg about the Chicago-based Fifth House Ensemble, which is returning to us this year as our 21CM Ensemble in Residence. There are lots of exciting things going on in the DePauw School of Music, and we're glad you could join us for Music for Life. We're thrilled at the beginning of each year of Music for Life to introduce our new faculty, and joining us this year to take over the choirs as Dr. Risto is off on pre-tenure leave is Dr. Christina Berger. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
I'm going to let people in behind the curtain to how exactly this happened, because that was about the coolest thing that happened
last year. That was pretty great.
Yeah. So we happened to have Chanticleer on campus last semester. Boy, that concert was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was marvelous.
And so Dr. Berger decided to come because she had conducted Chanticleer before and worked with him in the past. And so she was there as an audience member. And after the concert, she came up and introduced herself. I said, really? We have an opening. Would you be interested? So I think you went home and applied that night. Isn't that the way that went?
I sent you an email that night. Yes, I did.
So now what brought you to Chanticleer? Tell us first how that little moment of serendipity happened.
Sure. Well, I did some work for them over the course of a year, 2011 or 2012. I did some programming work for them, and then I was engaged as a guest director to prepare a very complicated score for their April performances in the Bay Area. So I was in residence with them for a week in the spring. And there are a couple of singers who had been my friends and colleagues. We had worked together in New York City. And after that, you know, anytime they're performing within driving distance of wherever I happen to be, I just call them up and they have tickets waiting for me at the box. So it's always worth the trip. Mm-hmm. So that was how I came. And as I approached the Green Center, I thought to myself, ooh, something good is happening here at DePauw. And the further into the experience I got, the more impressed I was with what I was seeing about the atmosphere here for mm-hmm. music students. And came to talk to you in the lobby because I wanted to meet the man who was creating this marvelous program. And I wasn't looking for a job. Oh, I was looking for a job, but I wasn't looking here. That was your little secret that you had one. So
exactly.
that was serendipity, no question about it.
Yeah, so that was a fantastic concert. They were just really on. Chanticleer was sorry to leave us, and we were sorry to let them go. They were really thrilled.
Oh, we talked all night about how impressed we were with the students here.
Right.
Yes, we did.
And so then we just have a little chat in the hallway, and it just struck me, well, you know what? Wait a minute. We've got an opening, and you happen to have a skill set that we need, so let's see if we can't bring you on board. And one thing led to another, and here you are.
So happy to be here.
Yeah, we're thrilled that you're here. So now we've kind of taken you and thrown you in the deep end of the pool, because not only are you coming in to take over the choral program for a year, but it's also got a lot of stuff already planned for it.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what you've been up to.
Oh, my. I began my musical life as a pianist, but after 15 years of doing that seriously, I switched into a focus on vocal ensemble music, and I've been practicing that for decades now.
And what prompted that change?
Oh, trying to get out of my junior year piano recital. But I had been singing in 4 and 5 choral ensembles every semester just for my own sheer pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I've got to graduate. These credits have to transfer into something or my parents are going to kill me. So I figured I would finish in music at choral and later when I grew up, figure out what I wanted to do. And I finished. I was on the 6-year plan, you know, 2.5 years at piano.
What's a few years between friends,
that's right?
That's right.
And then it was time to go get a job. You know, my parents said, no more checks are coming. Well, what was I qualified to do? Conduct choirs.
There
so I had my first job in a public school. I conducted middle school choirs in a very fine program in Kenosha, Wisconsin, while preparing for the LSATs, because I had been a political activist and I decided I was going to be a civil rights attorney.
Well, there you go.
Because I did not believe that I was the kind of person who could make a living as a musician. You know, that was the place of my hallowed teachers and all those great artists I had admired. And I didn't dare expect that I could be that person.
Now, so this is interesting. Law school was the fallback plan. Most people have music as the fallback plan. You know, for you, law school was it. Okay.
Well, and I have to tell you, I was really grasping at anything else that I could maybe do because I had never done anything but music and political rabble-rousing. But about March of the year, you know, I was into the school year, well through half of it. I'd been accepted at my law schools, and I noticed, though, that I was really enjoying my work and that I was really good at it. And I allowed myself for one moment truly to imagine my life without music at the center of it. And Mark, the most incredible thing happened. I received a full sensory hallucination of tumbling over an abyss into a pitch black, bottomless pit. And I had the physical urge to vomit.
So you were already imagining life as a lawyer.
As a lawyer, yes. So I said to myself, wow, Christina, you better pay attention to this message. Maybe you ought to try this.
You know, this is ironic because I too thought I should be a lawyer and changed my major several times as an undergraduate. But I had a professor say to me, if you can live without music, do it, because you will.
Right.
And that really stuck with me because as I tried to change my major, I kept being pulled back to it. It was like, I can't do that thing. This is what my life's about.
Exactly. So, you know, I told the law schools I wasn't coming. I prepared for my master's auditions, and I started school. And after my master's in choral conducting, I taught high school. And then I had some college adjunct positions. And then I went back for my doctorate, which I finished in 2000. And then I looked at the academic landscape for jobs, and I didn't see one as attractive as this one that I'm in right now. So I said, okay, I'm just going to go to New York City and work as a freelancer. And I knew that I wanted not only to conduct, but also to sing.
Right.
Composed, you know, doing a bunch of things.
And you're still active as a singer.
Oh, you bet. I'm on that plane, you know, several weekends a month. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right.
I can't thank New York City enough for the opportunities it gave me and is still giving me. But I've been able to practice vocal ensemble music from every direction. I am excited to encourage students in recognizing that, you know, if you really know what you're doing, you can do it on either side of the podium. You can write for it. You can arrange. You can help other people do it and keep the art form vibrant.
One of the things you bring to us that we're really excited about is your set of 21st century musician experiences and skills, because we're talking about creating the 21st century musician here at DePaul, and everything that we're doing is trying to prepare musicians for the future. And that type of experience, both sides of the podium, this type of musician, that type of musician, freelancing it, collaborative, being able to make it happen on a wide variety of styles and venues and parts of the country and bringing different skill sets to bear, you're really living that.
Yes, yes.
So one of our challenges when we brought you here was that, okay, let's look at your calendar. Because, you know, you've already, a 21st century musician's booking years in advance and a heavy schedule already planned. And we were fortunate that none of our major events collided with any of your major events. So you're going to
some minor ones did.
Yes,
thank
they
you
did.
For your cooperation.
Exactly. And now we're going to have you living in an airplane and a suitcase and hotels and everything else. But we're thrilled that you're on campus, and we look forward to great things, and we're glad you've joined us.
Thank you so much.
Here are two performances from this summer's Vocal Arts at DePaul concert of Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. First, tenor Benjamin Davis performs Franz Schubert's Die Fischermädchen, and then soprano Julia Massicott sings Franz Schubert's So lasst mich scheinen. Both singers are accompanied by pianist Jean-Claude Felter.
Du schönes Fischermädchen, treibe den Korn ans Land. Komm zu mir und setze dich nieder, wir kosen Hand in Hand. Komm zu mir und setze dich nieder, wir kosen Hand in Hand. Wir kosen Hand in Hand. Dein Köpfchen und fisch dich nicht zu sehr. Vertraust du dich doch sorglos täglich dem wilden Meer? Vertraust du dich doch sorglos täglich dem wilden Meer?
ganz die Meere hat Sturm, Ebb und Flut. Und manche schöne Perle in seine Tiefe ruht. Und manche schöne Perle in seine Tiefe ruht.
Hi, this is Matt Skiba, and this is another Student Corner. With me today, I have Mo Bailey.
Thanks for having me here.
And Jennifer Peacock.
Hi, glad to be here.
So Jennifer, what did you do last semester while you were off campus?
I was living in New York City with three other girls from DePauw, and I was working at a musical theater company. we put on a workshop of a musical, and so I helped the music director and played whenever I could. And then I also worked in the office.
Were these other students that were with you, were they music students as well?
Nope, they were CLA students and we were all doing different things.
Great. Mo, what about you?
I actually spent my summer in Denver, so I live about an hour north of Denver, so it was very convenient for me. I'm working with the Colorado Symphony. I know they're just a very innovative group. They're trying to really push this kind of 21CM idea that we're pushing in their own special way, primarily regarding the legalization of marijuana in Colorado. And they happen to be partnering with that industry, which has caused quite the scandal, I suppose you could say, but is very much in line with the idea of reaching out to your audience and your community. So I worked a lot with that particular initiative.
Mo, can you give us a little more information on this scandal, as you say?
Well, I suppose it was just kind of started as we had a company called Edible Events, so very aptly named, come approach us about playing, having groups play at their events that were basically just these outdoor food and beer and cannabis festivals. And then inside this gallery nearby would be a concert following that all the attendees could go to. So it started out as these private events, and then slowly we realized that there was a ton of money in this industry, which is pretty obvious at this point. And so we decided to start partnering with them and have built kind of the sponsorship agreement where they help us fund concerts and then we promote them as a legitimate industry. So I think the confusion sometimes comes that we're supporting consumption of cannabis, but it's really just legitimizing a real industry, just like you would the alcohol industry. Like Coors Light can sponsor a concert. Well, we think so can cannabis. So that's kind of what the whole initiative is, and we're reaching a completely new audience that wouldn't be reached otherwise. So I think that's where the benefits come in.
That's actually really interesting. Mm-hmm. So were these concerts held by like chamber groups, the full orchestra, a mixture of both?
Initially, it was just chamber groups. We had like a brass quintet play at the first event, string quartet, I think it was, and then we had a percussion group play at the third one. And I think there was one other, and I can't remember who played at it. And then the final concert was actually called Red Rocks on a High Note. So that's very aptly named. Red Rocks is a massive outdoor amphitheater near Denver. It's like known to be one of the best concert venues for large bands. Like Dave Matthews plays there twice a year. So this is the first time they've ever had a fully classical concert. And so it was sponsored by the cannabis industry. Again, we couldn't support consumption, but it was assumed that you had to be 21 or over to attend the concert. And then it was all just classical masterworks. And so that was the culmination, and that was a full orchestra.
Wow. Well, that's a very unique experience, to say the least.
It was indeed.
So, Jennifer, with being in New York and with the whole 21CM idea, how did you see that displayed, either through the theater or kind of just through the city?
So I guess we're used to seeing these big production musicals like Wicked and Book of Mormon, where it's really expensive and huge, huge orchestras and huge casts. But this was an interesting experience because this was a small workshop, which happens all over New York. That's how any musical goes from nothing to something. But the composer was there all the time. The lyricist was there. The writer was there. And they were constantly making changes. And so a song would just get cut, you know, right in the middle of rehearsal. And so we'd have to deal with that on the spot. So it was a really collaborative experience. Quite interesting, I guess.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what were your various responsibilities while you were there?
I was kind of an assistant to the music director. So anything he needed done, like copying music, editing the score, or whatever, I would do on the spot. I was also helping out with the stage managers, so anything they needed when I wasn't doing anything else. And then there was a rehearsal accompanist around, but when he was off doing other things, I would also play for rehearsals and pretty much fill in when they needed anything.
Wow, well, that's some really great experience. So with the cast you were working with and the composers and the writers, how many people were there? Like, obviously these aren't going to be the large scale, huge chorus works that we see in like Wicked and Book of Mormon. How many people were you usually working with at a time?
It was actually a larger cast for this theater. There was 18 people in the cast, but then there was 6 people in the band, which is actually becoming more and more standard for musicals. I sat in the pit of Book of Mormon when I was in New York, and I always thought they had a huge orchestra, but there's only 6 musicians down there.
Oh, wow.
Actually, and most of the instrumental music is done on the second keyboardist, and I was able to sit by him and watch him do his thing, and he let me play a couple notes during the show once, so that was probably one of my highlights of being in New York City.
That's really cool. So was it just the one show you were working on, or did you get the chance to workshop more than just the one?
I ended up meeting the costumer of the show, and so I worked as his assistant when he did the show Forbidden Broadway for a week. I don't sew at all, but I just went shopping for him and did things like that. And then I also played for a student cabaret at NYU and at another student cabaret that some of my friends put on.
Oh, wow. Seems like you got some great experience in there. And Mo, it sounds like you had the...
I did other stuff too, just to put that out there. That was just one of the concerts I helped with.
Do you want to elaborate on any of the other ones?
I mean, yeah. What was one of the coolest parts of my summer was working on our 5K. So it was around like 20 years ago, and they're just now reviving it. So this is the second year it's back. But the idea is just to connect to the Denver community in a way that's completely unrelated to Betcher Concert Hall, the things you generally hear about. So I helped secure vendors, which was really cool because I got to email and call a bunch of different local businesses and develop relationships with them. And I think that's going to become a new initiative of the symphony in general, is just reaching out to small businesses around the community to just, I guess, branch out a little bit more. So that was cool. And I also got to go to a couple different collaborative concerts with local indie bands. So I don't know, you probably haven't heard of them, but Devotchka, Greg Allen Isakov, and Elephant Revival, they're three Colorado bands that played at Red Rocks with us. And I got to be backstage for that concert, helping organize musicians and helping with the artistic side of things, which was really interesting considering I was primarily in development for most of the summer. So I got exposure to a lot of really cool things, marketing, all that. So it was really, really awesome.
Well, that's great. Just to go back to the 5K for a moment, how exactly does a symphony pair up with a 5K to organize something like that?
Well, I mean, we put it on, so it's completely organized by the staff. But the idea was we had musicians along the course. So it's like people register and the money is all going back to our education department. So our outreach to younger kids, especially those who are financially struggling in the community. So we do it every year at Sloan's Lake, which is a lake that's, you know, everyone runs around it after work. So it's kind of familiar to the whole community. Bands are placed along the course. And then at the very end, there's a bunch of vendors. And I think there's like our CEO gets up and speaks, and then there's a full concert of the symphony, and there's a bunch of prize giveaways and food trucks, and there's like an after beer fest somewhere because that's totally Colorado. So it's just like, it's a really cool event to bring in people that usually wouldn't come to a concert. And then with their ticket, they get a free ticket to come see us in Betcher, which is pretty cool too, because that'll draw in an audience we usually wouldn't see either.
Well, it sounds like a really cool way to bring in a new audience and give a new perspective to classical music for people that may not have been interested in the past. So what did the two of you kind of do in your free time for fun while you were either in Denver or in New York?
Well, actually, I also worked at a restaurant this summer in my hometown, which is an hour away. So I did a lot of driving. But that was a cool experience because for the first time, I was working a full-time job 3 days a week and then another part-time job in the evenings. So I truly felt like a musician in the sense that I was having to make my living, you know, waiting tables. And then I got to do what I love during the day. But I ran a lot this summer training for a marathon. And then I also got to take lessons with the second horn of the Colorado Symphony and go watch a couple rehearsals, which was really cool. Just to be able to play music this summer and really get exposure to a really great musician. So that was cool.
That's great. Jennifer, what about you?
I saw a lot of shows. I probably saw over 30 things when I was there just because students get really discounted tickets. And once you know people, they give you free tickets to things.
Well, thank you both for coming into the studio today.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
From the Student Recital Hour of Wednesday, April 30th, 2014, flutist Eleanor Price, oboist Matthew Acton, horn player Maureen Bailey, clarinetist Sarah Debian, and bassoonist Gwen Eberts perform the Allegro Moderato movement from the Wind Quintet, Opus 95, of Josef Bohuslav Förster. Thank you. From the Student Recital Hour of Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014, soprano Julie Strouser and pianist Amanda Hobson present Adele's Audition Song from the opera Die Fledermaus by Johann Strauss.
This is student producer Hannah Gauthier, and joining me in the studio today are double major in music and theater, Jacob Peterman.
Hi, Hannah.
And music major, Zeno Carpenter-New.
Hello.
They're here to talk to me today about the upcoming DePauw-Palooza on September 19th. So, what's DePauw-Palooza? Jacob?
DePauw-Palooza is probably one of my favorite events the School of Music does. It's right at the beginning of the semester. So everyone's still really fresh. Everyone's really excited to be here. The School of Music, we take our huge ensembles, the orchestra, the choir, the band, the jazz band. Sometimes the musical cast will perform. And we go outside onto Bauman Park and we just play music for the entire community. Sometimes we have other events like drum circles. So for families, if you have small children, bring them out and they can play with tambourines, djembes, all types of other instruments, just to get the entire community involved. And it's kind of like a welcome back to school event.
It's really great. So Zeno, can you tell us about some of your favorite past performances in DePauwpalooza?
Sure. I would say both my freshman year and this past year have been, well, some great performances. My freshman year, for our seminar group, we went out to Bowman Park and we played in a little drum circle, which was a lot of fun. It was a great way to express yourself through percussion, which as a violist, I'm not really able to do very often. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And last year, because of the rain and everything, it was moved inside. My piano quartet got to play Mozart in the Great Hall, which was a very interesting experience, to say the least. And I was happy to see a lot of people I wouldn't really think would come out to see like a Mozart piano quartet. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to play for them and everything. And I think everyone really enjoyed it.
That's great. Jacob, how about any of your favorite moments?
I would have to say my freshman year as well. We went outside. We got to play outside that year. And the orchestra, I don't remember the name of the piece, but it was some polka. It was a lot of fun. Everyone really liked it. And then as soon as we were done playing, I had less than a minute to run across the park and join the musical cast that was for Urinetown and to sing one of the songs. And I almost got there in time, and then they started singing without me. So I just was awkwardly standing in the park, and I just went back to the orchestra, but it was still kind of fun.
Okay. Can you give us any hint of what's going to be on the program this year?
Well, Hannah, I want to ask you a question, and this will maybe give a hint to our listeners about what we're going to be playing this year.
All right.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Frozen.
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. Zeno, do you have any hints for us?
Well, I probably shouldn't give away the names of the pieces we're playing, but I can tell you that the pieces are from two rather popular movies that came out, I believe, this past summer and the last summer before that.
Well, that sounds very exciting, and I can't wait to hear it. Can you just tell us one more time who is going to be performing and who can come to DePauwpalooza?
Well, everyone can come to DePauwpalooza. We're going to have some food for everyone, free food, maybe pizza. I think it's going to be pizza, hopefully. I like pizza. And then the groups that are playing, I know the orchestra is playing, the band is playing.
There should be some small chamber ensembles playing, possibly some solo artists, but yeah.
Choir and jazz band as well.
And the musical.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
And a reminder that DePauwpalooza is Friday, September 19th at 5:30 p.m. And we hope to see you there. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
You're welcome.
From her CD, Travels Through Time, DePauw piano professor Mei Pang performs 19th century Belgian composer Louis Brassens' Magic Fire Scene from Wagner's Die Walküre. Thank you.
Frequent listeners to Music for Life may recall Elika Åkerström as an outstanding soprano student here at DePauw, and this year we've convinced her to delay going off to grad school for a year so that she can serve as our second 21st Century Musician graduate intern. Welcome, Elika.
Thank you.
So Elika and Dr. Edberg, welcome, Eric.
Hey.
Are here to chat about the continuing residency of the Fifth House Ensemble. Fifth House came to join us last year, and we had such a fantastic experience. We're bringing them back again this year, and maybe you guys can tell us what's on the docket for them.
Sure. We've got a really exciting residency lined up for them this year. What's making it really special is that they're very much customizing it to 21CM and our needs as a school of music. Happening this week is our first visit from Fifth House, and then Tuesday and Wednesday, and we've got a lot of great things lined up. They're actually working with Dr. Edberg's State of the Art class, as well as Bonnie Whiting's Entrepreneurship class. We've got a clarinet master class. They're performing at Almost Home, plus a great residency kickoff lunch for all of our students. They're meeting with various community members to really try and make this a special year.
So maybe, Dr. Edberg, you can catch us up on what happened last year with the community.
One of the things that Fifth House does that makes them really unique and really exciting for us here with the 21st Century Musician Initiative is that they work from a model that they call civic practice, where they're using their training as classical musicians and the repertoire that they've developed to make a difference in the community. So they do a lot of educational work. They also do some fascinating work where they develop actual concerts for adults where they identify a target audience and do demographic and psychographic
right.
research and make a concert that's going to be really appealing to a young adult audience, which is one of the things that in classical music we're looking at. How do we bring in younger audiences? So last year, throughout a series of residencies, they worked with a group of students that we called Fifth House Apprentices who learned one of their programs called Music Can Tell a Story, and some of those students developed their own program to do in schools, which uses music to help accomplish an educational objective. They performed at Starbucks. They performed at the farmer's market. They
performed
at Almost Home.
At the Putnam Inn.
I mean,
they were everywhere.
They were everywhere. And the whole thing is, like, let's get the music out into the community, not only so people know about our own performances here in our great performance halls, but that we're expanding the whole idea of what it is to be a musician and that we leave our temples and we go out, and it sounds kind of funny, but we go out to where the rest of the community is. I was going to say we go out to the people. That sounds kind of noblesse oblige, but and that's not what it is. But we go to where people are, and we make music there.
You know, we have this great concert that kicks off every season. It's just around the corner called DePauwpalooza that we put out on the lawn, and every year we say to folks, we've come out of our house, now you come out of yours. And that's kind of the idea, that we come to meet you where you live.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really excited to have them in the State of the Art class. And the State of the Art is our new course where we're giving sophomore students in particular an overview of how classical music works in the United States, how it came to be the way it is, the constant state of evolution it is, and what new models are developing for young classical musicians, and also what are the challenges and successes that the legacy institutions like big symphony orchestras and mm-hmm. opera companies are experiencing. So the entrepreneurial model of a collective of musicians or a consortium of musicians who perform in different configurations but work together to create opportunities for themselves. Fifth House really exemplifies that. And in my class, they're going to be telling the students the story of how Fifth House came to be and talking about all the different income streams and different projects and activities that the individual members of Fifth House have.
What a great bit of information for a sophomore undergraduate. You know, we do a great job of training people musically in America, but we don't do a very good job of training them what they're going to do with that music when they graduate. And I think that's what State of the Art and other courses in 21CM are addressing.
Absolutely. So that when we say we in the larger sense, we can maybe subtract we in the smaller sense of the DePaul School of Music.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And we're really actually addressing those issues, which is very exciting to be part of.
Right. And there's also one of the cool things about having Fifth House is no age discrimination on the two old guys on this panel at the moment, but they're a lot closer to the student's age. And the students respond to that they're seeing professional musicians that are very close to their own age.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just in terms of seeing their work last year and knowing what they're planning on this year, they absolutely understand that what's on the minds of these students is, okay, I'm in college now, I'm doing great at studying for exams and passing a jury, I'm really good at that, but how do I get to what's beyond that? Mm-hmm. And how do I make a career out of these skills that I'm learning now? They absolutely understand that bridge, mm-hmm. which is really important for our students.
So they're here four times this year.
Oh, they're here more than that. Oh. They are here six times
this
year.
Six, okay, good. What else happened?
So our major culmination project, per se, last year we did Harvest, but this year they're ending with a collaborative performance with Balladino mm-hmm. this April, which is one of our Green Guest Artist concerts. And
Balladino is this Middle Eastern folk mm-hmm. music group of trained classical musicians.
Exactly. So that's our big performance at the end. But another exciting thing happening this spring is Melissa Snoza from Fifth House is going to be running the practicum course for 21CM mm-hmm. this spring as well.
And that's really cool because Melissa will be on campus some, but she'll also be taking advantage of technology because she lives in Chicago, and this way she can still be involved in the process on a daily basis. People can Skype in, and the flipped classroom comes to life in that regard.
Absolutely, and we should explain to our listeners that the practicum course is the kind of culminating course in our 21CM curriculum where students are going to do either individual or group projects of a significant nature where they're actually functioning as entrepreneurs. And what we're doing is we're getting Melissa to be kind of the head coach of this program, because this is a thing where you've got an activity you're going to do, and then you've got a real life music entrepreneur who is coaching you and making it happen. And then Melissa has a network of people within Fifth House and in the wider music world. Many of us on the faculty do, all of us on the mm-hmm. faculty have mm-hmm. a network of people who are doing entrepreneurial things. And so we're linking up the students in that course with a coach.
Right.
And Melissa will be here seven times every other week, and then she'll be working with students by Skype and phone and text and email and whatever new technology
and the
has
hub
developed
that we'll
by
be launching
right,
soon.
Right, exactly, right.
So. Yeah, we have a new website that has a great social aspect called The Hub, and we'll be telling you about that on a program coming up soon. We're thrilled that Fifth House is coming, and it just strikes me as I'm sitting here that I'm talking to the longest serving member in trying to move this school toward creating 21st century musicians. Eric's been at this for a very long time and had the Future Classical Music Symposia several years ago, and he's been networking with lots of people, and Elika just joined this summer to move from student to staff, and there are a lot of exciting things going on between one end of that spectrum and the other, and we're looking forward to telling you about it all year long, and thanks for coming in to chat with us.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
From the Student Recital Hour of Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014, saxophonist Kevin Smith and pianist John Klodfelter performed the first and second movements, Recitative and Passacaglia, from composer Ingolf Dahl's Concerto for Alto Saxophone.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Music for Life. We love hearing from listeners. You can contact us by emailing musicforlife@depaul.edu. We're also on Facebook at DePaul Music for Life, and you can subscribe to our show on iTunes by searching there for DePaul Music for Life. Our student producers are Anna Gatdula, Matt Skiba, Burke Stanton, Rachel Amalfitano, and Hannah Gauthier. Our 21CM graduate intern is Elika Okerstrom. Veronica Pedrell is our online editor, and our show is produced by Matthew Champagne in the Judson and Joyce Green Center for the Performing Arts at DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana. I'm Mark McCoy, Dean of the School of Music. Thank you for listening to our show. Keep music in your life, and have a great week.
Yeah, I would agree. You guys are really old.
It's Music for Life.